Well, good evening. It's good to continue to gather. I went home this afternoon after the annual meeting, and Tom and I joke about this a little because when we switched the service to Sunday, we switched the time, and for the longest time, I was like, it's at 6. I even made a flyer one time that said it was at 6 instead of 5. So I thought I had an hour, and then I realized I only had about 10 minutes. So, gotta get ready to go. But even on a busy day, it's good to gather in the evening hour. Briefly, I would like to offer just a few remarks. The annual meeting, so most Episcopal churches have an annual meeting. It's where they do business as a whole church. They elect and or appoint officers to the bishop's committee and other positions that allow us to perform the business of the church. We decided to try something new this year. As we enter this regional ministry, we decided we would hold all four annual meetings together. And it's kind of a misnomer to say together because in some sense it's concurrently. We held four annual meetings at the same time because the bylaws are such that each church still has to have its own annual meeting. But the bishop reminded me that I had to chair all of them. And fortunately, he had a good suggestion, do them all together. That's why you see some of us in t-shirts. We printed t-shirts with different colors to represent our different ministry sites. And we'll have those available for y'all at some point, too. I told you, though, I mean, there is something to it. We gave them away this morning, and now we're going to probably, we'll have to sell them to everybody else. Right, Cheryl? Is that, I'll pick on Cheryl since she's wearing her still. It's like, Tom, oh, you see? Lots of folks still wearing them. It's not unusual for me to not be in clerics. Most of you know Father Kaleo, who's also here with us tonight. I asked him to join us in part on the way home on a long day. He still made the journey here with us. His wife Nancy's here as well. And it's your cousin, right? Portia, all the way from Fairbanks, Alaska, here with us tonight. I don't always do a lot of introductions, but Kaleo's part of this ECHO team that we've been working on, this regional model. And in February, I'm going to be gone one Sunday. And we got a supply priest for the morning services, Dale Burke. Most people know him. He's well-liked by both congregations that I serve in the morning hour. And then I said, well, man, Kaleo, can you cover the evening service? He says, yeah. I said, well, you should come first so that you get to know a few people. I said, he says, how's the service going? I said, you just got to come see it because it's a little different than everything else that it's just a little bit different. So welcome. Glad you're here. He's been with us in the evening before, at least on like Ash Wednesday and stuff, I know. So glad to have you and know that you'll serve us well when I'm not here. Now, those who come to the evening service know I stall. It takes me a little while to get started. It takes me a little while to get my brain turning again into the preaching, but it does come. So here we go. We ready? All right. I noticed something this week that struck me, and part of my sermon preparation, I started something new. It's something I've been meaning to do for a while. I've read an interesting article about collaborative preaching, or this notion where you're not supposed to be preparing sermons in isolation. So often the preacher and priests from a lot of different traditions, very public, they're meeting with people, they're pastoring with people, they're at social things, but a lot of their sermon preparation maybe happens with other pastors, but it doesn't often include members of the congregation. And the article I read was bemoaning this fact, and I took that to heart, that we need to find ways of incorporating people. I mean, sometimes people give feedback, but a lot of times they don't want you to feel bad, so they just say something like, good sermon, preacher, or good job today, or that, you know. I'm not saying that you all don't offer some more sincere compliments or criticism. Beyond that, either is great and well appreciated, but the notion that we're supposed to be intentional about how we incorporate our communities into our preaching. And so I asked a few people if they would participate and try something with me, and I sent my first batch of emails. Now, don't be offended if I didn't include you. It's a small group to start because I don't know how much of this I can handle. This is a new thing, right? New things take time to develop, right? So I sent out this email with this reading and a couple of questions to respond to. It's my hope and the expectation that doing so will help me nuance my preaching to it and my understanding of it and my understanding of what people's perception of the passage is. And without fail, Everybody who responded noted first and foremost that the word immediately is very obvious in this passage. And I followed up. I was trying to get a sense of if people really had this notion of, certainly it pops in this passage. It comes up a couple of times, immediately. And part of what I wondered is, do people really, I mean, this is definitely a word that Mark uses a lot. The Gospel of Mark, the author of this gospel, says immediately a lot. He makes a point of saying, Jesus calls these people, they come immediately. Later he'll say how Jesus heals, and immediately the response is there. It's not a lag in the healing experience, it's instant. Now, part of the fascination with the word immediate in relation to the Gospel of Mark, so the Greek word that they use to describe the whole gospel is epitome. Now, epitome is a word we still use, right? I mean, it's we often think of it as the essential of something, but it's also kind of the summary of. It's the short course in something. And in some sense, that's what Mark set out to do, is this sense of, I got to capture this. Nobody's written this down yet. It's good that we're sharing it story by story and telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, but certainly someone has to write it down. And so Mark starts writing, and it's the shortest of the Gospels because he's just trying to get it down. He doesn't include a birth narrative or the heritage of Jesus. He just starts kind of like immediately with his baptism, and immediately how he jumps right into ministry, and immediately how all these things happen. And so Mark is very much this kind of, I mean, he's like that inner 12-year-old in all of us, right? This sense of like, let's do it and let's do it now. I don't know. This is the kind of stuff you get in the evening service. You don't get in the morning service. But there used to be one of my favorite shows in seminary was this show on MTV. I can't actually, I just don't feel right saying the title of the show in a church setting, because it's not exactly church friendly, the title of the show. I will say that it's kind of like the word for donkey. and that probably should leave you enough, I mean, yeah, you got it. One of my favorite shows, but it was this group of really impulsive guys who'd go around and wreak havoc in places, but mostly wreaked havoc on one another. Like, one of the first episodes I saw, they'd put one of the guys in a shopping cart, and they'd run as fast as they could with him, and then they'd let go, and the guy would continue to sail across the parking lot until he hit a curb, and then he'd go flying out of the shopping cart. This is hilarious. But in reading an interview about how they captured the show, one of the producers' biggest complaints was they'd show up to a place to do something, and the guys who were like the actors, the participants, would start doing stuff before the camera crew could set up. Like, the camera guys would still be getting their gear out of the truck, and they'd be like already crashing things into each other, and like half of them would be injured before the cameras were even rolling. You know, it was like this matter of like, ooh, slow, just stop. But I think that we're lacking some of the immediacy that's offered there. I think all too often we're overly cautious in our approach to things. Some of it, we guise it well. We're like, oh, it's maturity, you know? Or we have to think that through. We have to make sure we plan well for it. And while these, I'll say, excuses have legitimacy to them, there are things that we ought to think through and plan and be deliberate about. I think we often fail to respond with the immediacy that the gospel calls us to. I know that in my own life, all too often, I find myself saying, just a minute, I'll be there in a second, hold on a second, let me finish this first, I'll be right there. There's very few things where I find I'm ready to just run out the door for. It's like, you gotta think someone's in immediate danger, or if someone comes like, holding a cut so that the blood isn't spurting out, you're like, all right, let's go right now. You know, but it takes that kind of a thing, some kind of medical emergency or something, to kind of draw the immediacy out of us. And I think the gospel ought to do it as well. And as we read in this passage, the immediacy, it's because the call of Christ to follow compels them. They, even despite their familial obligations and what's comfortable and known to them, they know in their hearts that they need to follow this guy. My hope is that we'll be in tune to that same call in our own lives. And as we see opportunities arise to serve, as we see opportunities arise to proclaim the gospel, as we see opportunities arise to be a disciple, that we don't hesitate, that we don't say, let me finish this thing first. I got loose ends to tie up. I mean, we read about it in other places in the gospel too, right? Guy says, Jesus says, come on, follow me. And the guy says, I got to go bury my dad first. I said, don't worry about that. The dead will bury their own dead. That's right. I mean, it's like there's this sense where I think sometimes we've lost the capacity for immediacy. And I hope my prayer for us is that as we read this gospel tonight, as we reflect on it this week, that we might work to recapture the immediacy that is due to Jesus, the gospel, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.